The way you just brought up some deep trauma that I tried to throw away into my brain and never think about again. She would literally, in her little robe, run up, fart, and run away. It smelled like pork and beans. Next thing you know, she would do it to Q. She would do it to me. Towards the end, she started getting a little bit too comfortable.
EW podcast is
right.
Fierce, fierce, fierce.
I love this podcast.
Fierce, fierce. Weather, fierce. Food, fierce. There's weather.
Hello, I'm Joey Nolfi, Entertainment Weekly's RuPaul's Drag Race reporter, and before I give you an absolutely fabulous interview with this week's eliminated queen, Morphine Love Dion, later in the episode, I do want you to ask yourself this question. Am I capable of doing anything other than talk to drag queens? I do believe firmly in my heart that that's doable. Here, as Jillian and I broadcast live from trade school, where we are using our rough and calloused hands to make wooden lazy Susans, literally thousands. We have already mass produced thousands of lazy Susans. Jillian's hands are literally bleeding as we record this very special episode. And I can confirm that these were all made from trees that curiously looked like they had Kimora Hall's face on them.
And I'm Jillian Cederholm, EW's news director. And so, like, that was like such, that was all your intro, just to introduce yourself. Okay. I'm also here. I'm Jillian Cederholm, EW's news director and imminent trade school graduate. And I also have no idea where my clavicle is.
I do. And you know what? If you say that one more time, I'm going to jam this pen into my aorta.
I don't get the reference.
You've never seen the classic Whoopi Goldberg film, Girl Interrupted? And then where Whoopi goes, your aorta's in your chest. And then Angelina clicks the pen and goes, good to know.
Wow, I need to rewatch. I did not remember that.
Not iconic. Me coming with another reference.
No, don't say a reference, a quote. I didn't remember a quote from, yes, a movie that I love.
You really are turning into just like a butch straight man at the trade school.
I really am. Yeah.
Wow. Jillian, I have to ask you, after Woodchop, today's agenda does include recapping this week's Drag Race makeover episode. So Jillian, if you and I were woodworking our way to the Family Resemblance Challenge, how would you make me over makeup-wise? What would my drag name be? And how would you dress me? And there's only one rule here. You cannot use the color purple whatsoever. Another Wolfie reference.
So rude. So rude.
No, it's
okay,
not.
Okay, when I first read this question, okay, are you trying to say that it has to be wood-themed?
No.
Okay, but we can still have our drag family be Cedar Hoe?
Yes, Cedar Ho is perfect. Okay, so what's my first name?
What's a type of
balsam Cedar Ho?
Oh God. Okay, no,
because
actually,
that's very drag kingy, like balsam
oh,
Cedar Ho.
Okay, wait, are you going to be a drag king in this or?
Okay, well, you're making me over, so you decide.
Okay, honestly, if we're doing this on the show for RuPaul. My true idea is we're gonna, because I do think that they always need to be coordinated in some way. So I was trying to think of iconic duos, like to trick you to be in a movie pre-1995 that you had never heard of or an SNL sketch. But then I was like, okay, two things we know about RuPaul. She likes offensive humor and dying at this name. So instead of that, I'm going to have us go as the before and after of your hero, Susan Powder. And
yay!
Your name will be Susie Pouts.
Yay!
Susie Powder, and mine will be Lazy Susan, just to ensure the win.
Oh my God, that's perfect. Okay, now how would I be dressed?
Pretty much like you now, a tank top. You're going to have to shave your head and dye it blonde. And
Jillian, does this look like a tank top to you? My fully covered sleeves?
Joey is in a pitch black room right now, covered in darkness, shroud of darkness. So I have no idea what you're wearing.
Yeah, this is the only safe space to record in my apartment.
Our little dance sketch will be some kind of armpit fart.
Don't make me do it again. No, I have deodorant on. I can't do it. I'm not doing that again for the third consecutive week. This is just getting too out of hand. Speaking of out of hand, following the sun setting on dawn, the queens learn this week that they are participating in the Drag Family Resemblance Challenge, this time using all muscular dancers from the Drag Race live show in Vegas. And while it's discovered immediately that Plains Man has feet that are too big for heels, and both Morphine and Q develop instant crushes on theirs. Well, Q, as Jillian pointed out, Q actually develops a crush on all of the men, which RuPaul calls out. We find out the best bit of news in herstory. Morphine's man got his start dancing for EW's quick drag patron saint, Jessica Wilde. And this episode also welcomes another Maddie Morphosis, which Morphine and I have deemed the Maddie Morphi in our exit interview coming up. Because
another
Nymphia's
one,
man,
thank you.
Yes, another one, because Nymphia's man is revealed to be straight and has an Australian wife, which my theory, because all of these men are so surrounded by drag queens, I think it actually, there is potential that it could just be Courtney Act and drag and he wouldn't know the difference.
Chaz Bono all over again. Everyone's in love with Courtney.
Yes. Well, I think.
Okay, hold on. I think this is during Drag Race. Yeah, there's a new show, or I don't know, maybe it's an old show. I don't watch MTV that often, called Caught in the Act. Have you seen commercials for this? And every single time, do you think of Courtney Act?
Courtney Act.
Because that is supposed to be how her name is pronounced in Australian. Okay, sorry to interrupt you for that, but it just
that's okay. No, this is as we have discussed, this is a very boring episode. So we are filling the space, Jillian. We are filling the space. But I think just the workroom dynamic is like funny between the pairings. I always think that that's this one provided, I think, some new takes on this because they were all just kind of thirsting over these men. But how do we feel in general about the type of subjects that they introduced to makeover versus what we've had in the past? Because this to me doesn't feel like a showcase of the diverse kind of people that can do drag and feels more just like a commercial for hot men in the Vegas show.
I mean, yes, but hot men can also do drag, so why not?
Well, yes, but I mean, like, I anticipate that the fandom is gonna, or some sex of the fandom sex. Are gonna be like sects of the fandom are just gonna be like, oh, this is all literally the same body type and same type of person.
Yes, I think I was fine with it. I did like the, I mean, even though I did say this is an incredibly boring episode, I think that that's fine. I don't need every single time for them to be making, I don't know, like varying it so much. I'm okay with like one time it is just a bunch of people that look the same and everyone kind of has the same playing field. Because I mean, I think
Jillian's
we did
like hot pride.
Yes. I mean, I think that we did at least see that like working also with this kind of body type was different for some people. I was happy to get a break from the constant, oh, like a skinny person has to make over a fat person and they don't know what to do. And then that person's like sitting there like awkwardly. So I did like that. Yeah. And I think it was kind of interesting to hear the judges' critiques on some of them of.
Well, they just kind of flipped that and then it just became like, oh, muscles now get in the
way. Exactly. So the hypocrisy of the critiques.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it. And I did kind of like that it was showcasing the Vegas show, because I think that like we do often talk about this show is a path for people's next step, which does make it different than most other reality shows. I don't think everyone winning Survivor plans to go be a survivalist in their career. So RuPaul did hint that this is a mini audition for RDR Live in Vegas, and they're now doing it with these dancers that aren't part of the show. So that was interesting to me, and it made me think of which of these queens do we think or would we be most excited by if they were to join RDR Live? Because it looked like Morphine and I think Plain were the two that got really excited when Rue said that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, probably I would say of the ones that are left, I think it would make most sense for Saphira and Morphine.
Yeah.
The two that ended up being our bottom two this, this week would be the most interesting in REI Live.
I think I fully agree with that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not that I don't think it's just how somebody fits into that show. Like if Nymphia was there doing a full, actually that would be kind of cool if it was like kind of like an old school.
Yeah, that would be interesting too if it was Nymphia.
Like these old like movie musicals where they had like someone coming out like in a clamshell or something, but instead it's in a banana and then the dancers peel a giant banana and then it's Nymphia. Yeah. That would actually be pretty cool.
That's cute. Well, we also got, you know, this other, we were talking about the flirtations before, and in this interview coming up with Morphine, she also reveals that while she was crushing on her man, he also is straight and married, which was not mentioned on the episode. So
did she also just think he was reserved gay like Nymphia said about hers?
To be honest, like when Nymphia's man was like, I'm straight and have a wife, I was like,
no.
Are you really?
Not outing a dancer on this. And also, people can be more than straight and gay. And just because they're married to a certain person doesn't mean anything about
it. Well, he said he was straight.
Okay. Well, then, yes, he's declaring himself straight.
But. Yes, Jillian, not trying to take away straight pride from this man.
All right. I'm just trying to get in the way of your constant bi erasure. Okay.
That was bi erasure.
Okay, Nymphia also we did see an emotional moment from Nymphia during this workroom dynamic, which was really interesting to me. Yeah, we got Planes previously, and now Nymphia, like the one person that she chose to open up finally about her issues with feeling like she wasn't, like, just of all of her self-doubt and feeling like maybe she doesn't see herself in the same league as some of these queens, even though she knows deep down that she is good, was to this random straight man that she had just met for the first time. So that was kind of interesting. But I'm glad that she got to have that out.
Yeah.
So as the queens teach their new daughters, or sister, as Plain insists on calling her partner, the tricks of the trade, we learn that Saphira's daughter also has slew foot, Q's man walks better in heels than she does, and that Nymphia has an extremely disturbing approach to tucking, which she demonstrates using two oranges inside a pair of pantyhose and a banana in the middle. Morphine then makes an even more disturbing reveal that she wraps tape around her entire area, including around the banana itself, to tuck. So the message here is that tucking is disturbing no matter how you're doing it. But I really wish this was the week we were talking to Trinity the Tuck to get her take on hell these queens are doing.
Yes.
There's also the moment some people have been waiting for all season. The one moment per season that RuPaul laughs so hard he almost dies, which came this episode when Plain revealed that she's naming her drag sister Lazy Susan, although I will argue that like any great stand-up show or Drag Race roast, she had a huge assist from her warm-up act, Saphira, saying that her favorite thing anyone's ever called her was Saphorist Whitaker, which also gave Ru quite the chuckle.
Yes.
The queens then take the stage to figure out some choreography, which in many of their cases is led by the professional dancers and not devised by the queens as we usually see, which was an interesting twist on the challenge. And I thought was smart for the queens to get that.
And a saving grace for Q.
Well, yes, but then skipping forward in the critiques, maybe Q just always looks plucked. And so it's like not fair that every time we say that she looks plucked at something, or maybe she really is. But when Ru asked the dancer if he had any input in Q's choreography, and he immediately was like, oh, yes, I did. She looked kind of upset. So I was like, oh.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Maybe it was just me, but that's what I picked up on.
I also want to point out that Morphine does say later in this interview that Rue, the laughing at Lazy Susan, lasted for at least 10 minutes.
What the hell? Maybe Rue just woke up from a nap, because some of us have discovered.
He had like full tears in his eyes.
I don't know.
It was so funny.
Okay, but you have a theory that you would like to share with us on why producers.
Yes, because I think that this episode sort of confirms what I was thinking last week of like why the producers very clearly like wanted Dawn gone last week and played body for her against Morphine, because I think this episode, it would have made it very hard, I think, to eliminate or to whittle down to, I think, the top three or four that they want for this season. Because if you have two people who are extremely good at seamstressing, as Maya would say, Dawn and Q heading into the makeover challenge, where we know they're good at pulling out looks, whatever, that would have made it much more difficult, I think, to whittle it down to the final four that they wanted, because you would have had Dawn also succeeding at this challenge, and it would have made it hard to eliminate Dawn this week. Because I think there are some queens that they want to build up for having an All-Stars run, and Dawn is very clearly, I think, one of them. She didn't have a single win all season. This is prime fodder for coming back as a All-Star with something to prove. She's a fan favorite. She has the most followers of any queen this season so far. I think while they maybe didn't gauge how much people would love Mirage, production knew, okay, Dawn is going to be the one that really hits with our fan base. It would have been really hard to eliminate Dawn or justify putting her in the bottom on this episode, because I think she would have done so well in this. And also Q, who is an extremely good seamstresser, who they, I think, should have won this challenge. They didn't, they, like, she was just, she, like, Q had the most impressive looks on that runway, and she had clearly put the most time and effort into making over her subject. Those looks were incredible. They were very Crystal Method. I think that hers were the most interesting, and they were just kind of like, yeah, it was good. They just couldn't have two great seamstressers who had been proving that they can make looks and turn out good looks on the runway competing in the same episode, because it would have been harder, I think, to justify Plain Jane winning this episode than it already was.
So your full fan conspiracy theory at this point about just that this show is completely from day one, they have their winner and that's it.
I think they have an idea, maybe. Yeah.
Because to me, I guess I'm not understanding, like, you could swap out Morphine and Dawn so easily and just say it's because Morphine is so good at makeup that she would obviously be able to do her exact face on another person, which fashion, we did see.
And this is more about the actual, all the time the queens land in the bottom, not necessarily for the makeup for this episode, but for their looks and fashion.
Maybe. But I mean, because of the body type thing, nobody really had ended up other than Saphira, and that was purely because her outfit was too heavy, like having to remake an entire new thing. So I don't know if necessarily having to quit somebody who had to quickly design something. Q wasn't making that in the room. Or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she was.
I guarantee she made it before the show, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, somebody could also ask a designer. So that means production would have
already seen what Dawn had brought for the makeover challenge, and maybe it was just so amazing that they were like, okay, it's going to be very hard to do an elimination next season with Dawn and Q both doing this. Because, I'm sorry, Plain Jane, as much as I am, you know, I think that she has gotten better as the season has gone on in terms of being able to, like, tolerate versus what was going on at the beginning of the season. I mean, I generally enjoy her, but I think this was a real stretch for her to win this challenge.
Well, my theory is that producers wanted Dawn to appear in this episode, but she just flopped so hard in body that they couldn't. Because
you're
why
telling
would you
me
know?
That you think production thought that putting Morphine and Dawn against each other, that they chose body because they wanted Dawn to stay?
No, what I'm saying is that producers should have wanted Dawn to appear in this episode so that we could have her and her exact twin be makeover partners, because almost everybody was like partnered up fairly well. But I think this would have been hilarious to see Dawn and somebody who looks exactly like her face wise and also has an engineering degree, which Dawn also has, which is just like, this is I think this was Dawn ran home, took whatever steroids they give all the Marvel actors, came back, put on, you know. This was Dusk. This was not Dawn. This was Dusk back as a drag queen.
Yes. No, I was... Jillian, I literally have that in my notes, that this is Dusk.
Also, it was great to see Kahana Montrese back. Safira's Shakira looked just like her.
I literally wrote that. This is the return of Dusk.
Well, you don't have an original thought in your head. They're all mine.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that is so funny.
Also did just want to point out that there are actual famous or drag queens named Lazy Susan out in the world, including one who I guess does a bunch of stuff with Art Simone from Drag Race Down Under. So
I don't Michelle Visage's Drag Race Down Under.
Oh Lord, yes. But okay, do you think that Rue was laughing? If you're so into your conspiracy theories, do you think Rue was laughing that hard to convince us that Plain Jane is a lot funnier than we've seen her be?
No, I think that Rue genuinely has his favorites each season. And for some reason, Plain Jane is just speaking to his spirit this season. And like, I don't think if Q had been like, oh, I'm naming my drag daughter Lazy Susan, like, I don't necessarily know that it would have been as immediately funny to Rue. I think it's funny because Rue just knows how stupid Plain Jane is with stuff like this, and that was becoming immediately more funny to Rue. It's not necessarily the name itself that's funny to Rue. It's the fact that it's Plain Jane giving that name that is funny to Rue. And I mean, I think Plain Jane is she's not the funniest queen that's ever been on the show. I mean, not even close, but like I do think she's somewhat funny. But yeah, I don't know. I think that Rue like clearly has his favorites throughout the season, and Plain Jane is definitely his.
So if she had just said Bear Barbara, it would have been the same.
No, because I don't think that's funny. Bear Barbara.
What? Okay, one other thing about Rue's walkthrough that was just kind of funny to me, and maybe it's because we both did just read Rue's memoir, which was like half of it is about growing up gay in San Diego.
Yeah.
That when Safira's daughter is like, oh, you know, I grew up queer in San Diego, and we're asked, what was it like growing up queer in San Diego? And like no mention of like, oh my god, me too. We're the same.
That's true. Well, on the runway, we get the pairings and their names. Safira enters with Shakira and thankfully not the originally planned Hyacinth. Nymphia teams with Juanita Wind. Okay, Morphines took me a second, but as I realized what she meant, I know it's so simple. It's one of those things that was so simple that I didn't get it at first. And then typing this out, I was like, oh my God, Latina.
Masla Diva.
That I'm Latina, Latifa, Mas Latina. Yeah, that really cracked me up. I thought that Morphines was funny. Q is the mother to Luna.
Why not Anon?
Oh my god. Peppermint X fingers.
If you want someone to laugh.
Peppermint X fingers. Plain then, of course, has sibling relations to Lazy Susan, and the teams walk the runway and then perform Super Queen in pairs. So, I mean, runways. Who are we feeling had the best, and who do we think has the worst makeover?
Okay, go ahead, because I wasn't impressed.
Q's to me was the best. I think that they both look like they're in their oddball little cool family, and I think that it was interesting visually. I think that it was something that is very much in line with what Crystal Method did, that everybody loved back on season 12. And I don't know, I just thought it was fun, silly. They looked like siblings, and I thought it showed real craftsmanship too on Q's part. And I just, as much as I am like, I'm not trying to bash Plain Jane or anything, but I really just find it very hard to believe the acrobatics they did to justify Plain winning this challenge, because even in the dancing portion, Plain mostly just stands there while her Lazy Susan like dances all around her. And I'm just like, what did she do other? Like, I don't want to say that because I hate it when people say like, oh, well, what did she do other than, because I do think there's a lot of time and effort that goes into this. I don't think Plain was a Lazy Susan when it came to this challenge, but I just think visually the other looks were more interesting. The look that Plain put her queen in was like more of a standard drag look. Q's was daring, it was out there, it was more interesting. And I don't know, I think that it was Plains was just a little too on the nose of a, you know, I like that when the sibling relations are complementary and not just exact matches of each other. And Plains was just like an exact, the same look twice. And where I think Q's was, it was clear they were siblings, but the looks complemented each other instead of just being the exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just had really different feelings than you on this one. I thought that although, like, yes, Plain and Susan were in the exact same outfit and just slightly different hair. Huh?
I'm just laughing at Plain and Susan. Uh-oh. The name Susan.
Plain and Lazy. They, I don't know, like, yeah, I thought that they, it was such a polished look. Yeah, they're lucky enough that they both, the other queen fit into the look. But I thought that that did give them the true family resemblance in every way. And I guess that I have to remind myself that this person is a professional dancer, not just a random cis man who came into the competition for a makeover. So obviously, like, the fact that they have stage presence, even though they were a little more reserved as a personally, was not because of Plain helping them come out of their shell. But that said, I did still think that, yeah, as a makeover, yeah, it was like you could have, I think, put this person into the competition. Like, it looked, it basically looked like Morgan McMichaels in drag.
Can I say who I really thought it looked like?
Elliot.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it.
That's in my notes.
That was my first.
It's thought. Elliot with two D's. Elliot with two planes. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I definitely wasn't like, oh, this is full riggery the way that I have, you know, felt that
I shouldn't say riggery.
Win.
Yeah. No. It's not. Well, I don't know.
I don't know, because to me, Q would have been my bottom with Saphira, unfortunately.
Yeah,
This didn't work for me. I love Crystal Method. Yes, absolutely, because it was both quirkiness, but also really making over this person. And it just worked in a much different way to me. And especially just like the way that it brought out that teacher in that challenge was just so fun. This to me was... I thought the face was a little simple. Like, I think, like, that was an easy thing to go in being like, okay, this is a face I can put on anyone and it won't. Like, this will make us match versus if I tried to do my own drag normal makeup on somebody. And I did not like the outfit she put on her. She basically put her in leggings and a giant fuzzy sweatshirt. And I wish that they had maybe swapped or something, because I'm just thinking
of my work outfits.
What?
My work outfits.
It's not a tank top and a crucifix.
Oh my god! Fuck off.
But I don't know. I am thinking of like, okay, what if this were one of those other years where some cis woman goes on the show and is like, oh, I've never like felt pretty in my whole life or something. And then this is the look that she had. And she's like, I really wanted to go into drag so I could like be like ultra feminine for once, and then like this is the look. Or I don't know, I just, yeah, I didn't love it. Like, if like, yes, in general I love the concept. If Q came out in like some other, I don't know, fur runway or something wearing either of these, I would think it's fun. But, and I usually do like when someone does something slightly quirky, but I don't know, to me it was almost a cop out that she brought this, that no matter the size or shape or who this person was, this was going to work for them. The face, it didn't matter what their face looked like. This is going to be the face that they put on them to match, which I guess is smart if you do want to match. But I don't know. It wasn't my favorite, but obviously it was for you.
You're allowed to be wrong. It's okay. It's sometimes it happens. And I
hasn't happened yet.
We will carry on. I also love your note here that Michelle is pro branding now.
Oh yeah, that was really good. I mean, that is kind of Michelle's role on the
show.
Dawn
is gone, and now she's pro-branding.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, but I guess we got to talk about it.
Yes. So the judges ultimately put Saphira in the bottom after we saw her struggle earlier with an initial gown that she intended to use for this challenge, which she said was between 60 to 80 pounds worth of stones. So it's not only are every single garment she has so bulky that it's going to need two suitcases for one outfit, but now she's also exceeding the weight limit of every suitcase with one single outfit that she's not even using. So insane. But she discovered that she couldn't dance in the outfit. So she scrapped it entirely and whatever her daughter was going to wear, which we didn't really get a chance to see other than a couple of like a headpiece that looked pretty cool. And then did end up making something entirely new. So she came out on the runway with outfits that were the same shade of orange, but otherwise really did not have any resemblance whatsoever. And Safira had to improvise with her looks. They also read Morphine for failing to feminize her daughter, who was super muscled up, which I take issue with because there are plenty of muscular and feminine women.
Yeah, it was so weird.
I don't know. That was the more weird one for me. Like, yes, you could have put a boa on, but I mean, I don't know. Like, we've seen queens on this show go pretty far that also are pretty muscular, and they didn't always hide themselves completely. Yeah. So
I think that I understand at the core of maybe what they're saying is that just proportionally, there could have been other things that could have been done, not necessarily to hide the muscles, but to just make it look not so unbalanced. Like, I mean, I think the hair was probably a little bit flat for when your arms are super muscular. If they had put like, if Morphine had put higher hair on her, I think that's what they were trying to say, is that it would have offset the physical look of the muscles a little bit. But I think it was
Maddie Morphosis's pit stop wig.
Yes, yes, yes.
Would have done the trick.
Yes. But I think, feminize is probably the wrong word. I wouldn't have used the word feminize. And just to be clear, Jillian, that was not Jillian's word choice. We were just quoting when I wrote this script, the judges, what they said. But I think that the critiques were definitely fair for Safira, as much as I hate to admit it. You know, Safira is, I think it's pretty obvious that outside of Maya, like, Safira was my favorite of the season, and it was really tough to see Safira. But it's like kind of one of those things where, like, you know it's coming so you were a little bit prepared. It wasn't like a shock that she was in the bottom, because throughout the whole episode, and then finally when she walked on the runway, you were like, oh yeah, this is destined for bottom two. But she still performed well. I mean, I liked the little dances that they were doing for Super Queen. And it's like, and I think you could see on Safira's face too, when she was getting her critiques, like, she knew the whole time. She was just like, mm-hmm, yep, I'm preparing for the lip sync now. Which I think was the right mindset, because she headed into that lip sync and she absolutely killed it, I think. Because the lip syncs were two, it was just very different approaches to this Kelsey Ballerini Miss Me More song, and Safira did the more theatrical, subtle approach at first. She was giving emotions instead of like huge moves, and Morphine's performance went big and hard from the beginning. But in the end, Safira won and Morphine sashayed away without winning a single challenge after 13 weeks, which was a very odd run on the show. But I think she was still an entertaining queen. I enjoyed seeing her on TV, and you know, I think she's also another one that's probably primed to come back for All Stars at some point. So, I mean, I'm assuming, did you agree that Safira won?
Well, I also have a very controversial thing to say.
What?
I thought Morphine won.
Oh, no, Jillian, go away.
I love Safira. She's my winner of the season.
No, I've been wanting this.
I've been pissed that I feel like they're holding back from showing us more Safira. I wasn't as gagged as I was hoping to be. I wasn't as gagged as
Jillian,
when
she did a reverse bit. The thing that they always do where they go down into a split. She did a reverse split up to upwards. Queens usually always like go down and they jump and they do a split. Safira went from a split and jumped up into like a kneeling position.
I believe I wanted her to win this lip sync, but I was just, I don't know. I was looking at Morphine.
That's good for you. She did.
I mean, wouldn't someone have to go into a split before they can come out of it? So I don't understand how she didn't go into a split but came out of one. What does that mean?
She did.
Okay. Like, after she did the kind of, like a sort of Maya tribute of flipping. Okay, yeah, so she jumped up into a squat. Yeah, we've seen that a lot.
Oh, God.
I don't know. We've seen that a lot. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like, I don't want to like devalue her. I didn't think she wasn't murdered by Morphine or whatever, but I don't know. I thought that I was getting really worried. And then when they showed Safira being super cocky in the confessional, like, I know I'm annihilating this or whatever, I was like, oh God. Like, I really don't think that they would send Safira home. There's no way. That would be totally gag of all time if they sent her home to somebody with such a bad track record. Okay, Joey, you were constantly, we have this shared doc that we reference while we're making the show. Every time I speak, Joey's just in here typing, reading, tweeting. I don't know what's going on. You've never listened to a word I say on this show.
Jillian, would you care to ask any question? Would you care to ask a question?
No.
Jillian, please ask the question that you have written into this doc.
All right, fine. So you've skipped over every other discussion point that I've had because you want me to ask.
We'll go back.
You want me to ask?
Yeah. Your note in this script.
I know what your answer is going to be, but I have a question in here that said, did we know Safira and Honey Davenport are BFFs? Because, honey, we got to see, because nowhere mentioned in this entire outline about to talk about this episode was there that we got to see a season 11 queen, Honey Davenport, in Untucked. So, Joey, did we know Safira and Honey Davenport were BFFs?
Yes, Jillian Closet, for the preseason interviews that you were famously in the room for and helped me make questions for, we lovingly asked Safira if she knew.
You still have the cue cards? Oh my god,
Jillian! Jillian still has the cue cards for our season 16 interview.
Tell your anecdote while I look.
Yes. Well, it's not written on the cue card because famously those are not questions. Those are just the intros. But there might be some coffee stains on them, though. But yes, we famously did ask Safira Crystal about her relationship to Honey Davenport. And Honey Davenport was also at the season 16 premiere event, which I also told you about.
The where?
So, the season 16 premiere
Sorry,
event.
Sorry, I was reading the cue cards and now I'm not listening to what you're saying. Say it again.
Fuck off. Honey Davenport was also famously at the season 16 premiere event in New York City. So, yes, we did, Jillian, and you also did know that Safira and Honey Davenport were BFFs.
I just wanted to give you a platform. Sometimes journalists ask a question that they know the answer to, just so that their subject.
Yes,
thank you so much. Can get out the information.
Thank you, Jillian Closet. Now let's go back to your other note about Kelsey Ballerini.
Well, I just thought we should acknowledge that Kelsey Ballerini was also on the show. And no, it was driving me crazy. So just in case any other people, and maybe there's another answer to this, but I was like, who has worn this exact same outfit? And the answer is Kim Kardashian on the doing her monologue on Saturday Night Live. I just needed to throw in another SNL reference.
Meredith Marks also, I think, wore this.
Ooh.
Or like a green version of it or something. I don't know. Certainly
you also wore this
I did in
green on Halloween.
Oh, I did wear it in green. Yes, I did. Famously as the bringing the reference back to the Kamor Hall tree. Yes. Well, she's a painkiller, but her elimination still hurts. Stay tuned for our exit interview with the lovely Morphine Love Dion coming up next. Welcome back to EW's Quick Drag, where we're always here to remind you of the ancient proverb that states, when an excellent drag queen sashays away, a new baby drag angel gets its BBL. And my next guest is here as this season's mother of body, whose impact will be felt long after her time on the show ends. Please welcome the fab and squeaky clean Morphine Love Dion.
I just got out of the shower because I'm going to the airport now, but how are you?
Ooh, I am. Yeah, it's a good thing we did not see more there. I'm glad that you figured
out.
I know.
You saw a lot of my ass on Drag Race anyway, so it's fine.
Yes, I don't know if I fully recovered after you talking about poopsieing in pants so much last week.
Oh my
so.
God. I can't believe I talked about that. I'm crazy.
You know what, Morphine? It has all contributed to this hilarious and lovely run that you had on the show. So I have to congratulate you and say that I hope you're happy with everything.
Thank you. I am. I didn't, you know, expect to be so well received kind of now, towards the end of the show. So I'm really happy with how everything went down, to be honest. And even when recording the show, I was just so happy in general that I was, you know, there and how it went down. And besides, you know, this last episode, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, we do. I'm glad that you're happy and because we have a lot to discuss today. But I want to go back to the last few weeks to cover some bases first.
Yes.
First, all anyone could talk about last week was this body lip sync against Dawn. Did you know Dawn was dead or done for the second the song started? And do you think that was a fair song choice for her?
I don't know if it was fair. I would say, and I think anyone against me with that song I think it would have not been a good thing for them.
Yeah.
So it just sucks that it had to be Dawn. But honestly, I think it's so funny because Dawn was throwing, was casting some spells in the back. Like,
yes!
I watched the lip sync again, just her. Like, I think after the fifth time. And I was like, what is she doing? But she's, in my mind, she's still eight. But I just thought it was hilarious. I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Well, I don't think it was as bad of a murder as like Maya against Plasma, but I think that Dawn, like, I think Dawn looked like Plasma seemed totally nervous and like out of her element. Dawn at least was trying, I think. And Dawn, I like the one tweet where it's like Dawn looks like she's about to play like a Grecian harp or something.
Oh my god, that is my favorite. You tweet some of the funnest things too. Some of the funniest things. You. And I'm just like, I don't know, that screenshot of her just like with her face down and her hands up like in a weird way, I just think it's so funny.
It's so good.
It's crazy that they're playing the lip sync. Like, I'm getting tagged with like all these clubs, and since it's a popular song, now they're playing the song but with the video. So yeah. It's fun for me, but not fun for Dawn.
I know. Yeah, I like her exposure therapy video too, where she's like eating a salad listening to Body. But
that is so funny.
Well, I'm also not sure if you saw my exit interview with Maya a few weeks ago, but she revealed that you voted her as the gassiest in the prior mini challenge because she used to run by you, fart, and then run away on set. So can you please elaborate or confirm?
The way you just brought up some deep trauma that I tried to throw away into my brain and never think about again. She would literally, in her little robe, would like, I meant catering. I could be at catering. I could be like talking to producers. I could be anywhere. She will run up, fart, and run away. And like, it's just, it's so foul. So foul. I don't know why she would do that to me every time. I forgot about that. Oh my God.
I'm so sorry. I really hate this next question. I mean, can you describe what it smelled like? Could you tell what Miss Maya ate that day?
It smelled like, how do I explain it? It was right in the morning too, so it would like wake me up a little bit. But it smelled like pork and beans. Just pork and beans, and like not good. Like soybeans, like really just nasty work.
So she just, there was no warning. She just decided, why did she, do you know why she started to do this to you?
She's a bully. She's a bully. After a while, she got really comfortable with me specifically. And I guess I just started to realize and know the real, real Maya. And that was Maya. And then next thing you know, she would do it to Q. She would do it to me. So, you know, towards the end, she started getting a little bit too comfortable.
Okay, so this saga is not over. So if like, I'm assuming, well, the show ends in, what, like a month. So I will be talking to Q at some point within the next month.
Yeah, ask Q, please.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for that,
She would always pick on Q, too. So I love that.
You mean she would always do what to Q?
She would always pick on her, too. Like, they would always, like, argue and fight. So it's, like, so funny. She's like a little annoying sibling.
Yeah. Well, there is that rumor that she's only 14 years old and infiltrated the set.
No. Is that a real rumor for real?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Well, she did. I mean, she did some little sisterly things. The other thing that you seemed pissed in the moment when she threw that dress on you. I loved it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious. But I imagine maybe in the moment, your reaction is probably different than somebody watching on the outside. So like, did it really throw you off when she threw the dress on you?
I actually wasn't as mad as I looked. I actually was like, oh, okay, she wants to actually play around this time. Okay, let's do it. Because as soon as that went over me, all I thought was, oh my God, I went blind. I fainted. Something happened. Like, I didn't know what happened because it was just like pitch black. But then when I noticed who I was lip syncing against, I was like, oh. So it was more just like, I knew she was like doing a ballroom trick where you always have to outshine your opponent in some way or somehow, even if it's like dirty.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, we're gonna get this done and we're gonna play dirty. So I wasn't as upset as everyone thought I was, but I thought it was funny too.
Well, I mean, you threw your titty back at her, and I mean,
absolutely,
you did.
I didn't want to hit her, but I did at the same time.
Well, there is, just for You know, my sake, we do have on this podcast, my co-host Jillian, who does the recaps with me. She and I have had a long-standing debate about whether or not this was a deadly act. Like I said, it is not. Jillian thinks that she could have killed you by doing that. Can you weigh in on this? What do you think? Do you think that that was a deadly act, or do you think it is not a deadly act?
I think, that's a good point to bring up. You mean like the cape going over
me? The cape going over you, yes. Do you think that could have killed you?
No, because I think Maya knew to throw it at me. Now
you could handle it.
Because I could handle it. Like if I threw it at Alyssa Edwards, she could handle it. Like if I threw it at Evie Oddly or Brooklyn Heights, they could handle it. If I did it at Dawn, she would break her neck instantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something like, you know, it's not as bad as it seems, you know what I mean? But definitely, like, I think Maya knew that I wasn't gonna die, and I knew I wasn't gonna die. So I think, you know, I completely agree that it wasn't, you know, as dangerous as
for
people
you
made it seem.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, not for me.
Good, good. Thank you for settling that.
If she threw a brick at me, that would have been different.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But also entertaining.
So this week, we had the fan favorite makeover challenge, and you were all tasked with making over dancers from Vegas Live. And I know Sasha Colby has adopted somebody on the set last year. Other queens who've been made over on the show have gone to actually like have drag careers. So did you actually adopt your daughter? Like did any of these dancers continue to do drag after this, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, no, but I do keep in contact with Miguel.
I was going to say, you seemed like you had a little crush. So did you give him your number?
Oh my God, why is everyone saying that? Oh my God, yes, I did fall in love with him. I will say that. I thoroughly enjoy working with Miguel. I'm pretty sure I said some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But, I did. You said?
Yeah, well, not crazy. It's just, it's funny. It's like, it's adorable. Like you are like fawning over him.
Oh my God. Well, he's married. So yeah. He has a full-blown wife, straight man. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we still DM, we still talk. He's very sweet, very nice. He actually, like, when I got eliminated, like, made sure that I was okay and that I was cool and that everything was fine. So he really didn't want me to go home. Like, he really tried his best to, like, you know, do his best.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I potentially do see him do drag in the future, you know, but I just wonder how that would be. It would be another Matty Morphosis for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say that was my thoughts exactly with this episode, because I didn't think it wasn't revealed in the episode that he was also straight. It was only revealed that Nymphias was straight and had a wife. So he also had a wife.
Yeah, he does have a wife.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, so there were two Matty Morphi on this episode.
Yes, they were. Two Matty Morphi.
Okay. Cool. Well, I guess speaking of attraction, did you notice last week this pit crew member that you and Q were tickling was extremely excited over that development?
Oh my God, Jesse, Mama, he was bricked up. you know what's so crazy? I did not notice that. And everybody was like, Morphine, why are her eyes down there? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I did not see that at all.
Uh-huh. I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
I am being serious. Well, I think I noticed it and I was like, whoa. But then I tried to ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the fandom did not ignore it. That's for sure.
Girl, I wonder what padding she used or if it's, I don't think it's padding.
No, it's not padding.
Because I saw a tweet that somebody said, somebody was like, oh, whatever padding they use, Mama, they are going off. And I'm like, I don't think that's padding.
Yeah, it's not padding. That was not padding.
You're like, I know from experience.
Oh my God, no, stop. Peppermint X fingers. I'm putting them up. But there was also this moment this episode where Rue absolutely lost it over Plain naming her daughter Lazy Susan. So do you remember in the room how bad Rue broke down? Like, how long did that last?
I rolled my eyes so deeply because I'm like, oh, that is so annoying. Like, Plain will always make Rue laugh no matter what.
Yeah.
And what's it called? And she laughed. Yeah, she laughed for about like 10 minutes. She just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah,
she had tears in her eyes. She had tears in her eyes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Her vein was about to pop out of her forehead, girl. She was she was peeing.
Yes, it was a very funny moment, and something that also had me dying was last week when Athena gave you the video message. But since you and Plane are seemingly drag sisters, I was like, why did she not mention Plane, her other daughter, at least once? So did you ask her why she only addressed it to you and not to Plane? Like, did she disown Plane?
No, it's funny because I'm Athena's real daughter, and then Plane is more of like a dumpster honorary child daughter. And Athena didn't know that she was on. So...
Oh yeah. My God. So you were the only one that spilled the beans.
Yeah. Oh, I you know, because you can't tell that many people NDAs, but
yeah.
I think Athena had an idea, but she didn't know. She didn't know if Plane was still there. She didn't know if, like, Plane was there at all. She just didn't know, like, many things, you know. She didn't want to, like, be like, hi, Plane. She should have, I think. She said, hi, Plane, but
yeah.
I think that would have been hilarious.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, it cracked me up. On the runway, I thought that your daughter looked, I thought she looked pretty. I mean, the mug, we knew the mug was going to be good with you in charge, but the judges, of course, but the judges read the looks, I think, for being a little too simple and for you not, quote unquote, femming up your drag daughter enough, given
the muscles.
Well, like,
there's bodybuilder women, you know, like, I mean, it's fine.
Well, what was your approach to it? Like, was that always the concept you had for dressing your daughter? Or did you have to adapt like Safira did once you got to set and learned that you had like a more muscular daughter?
Well, I never thought I'd ever meet someone like Miguel, first of all. So I was gagged at that. I was like, this is all I have. We're going to make it work. And hopefully people will appreciate your beautiful body regardless. At one point, I almost didn't pat him, but thank God. Thank God I did. I remember helping him tuck too, and I was like, oh my God, I just need to get out of here. I need to get out of set right now.
Yeah, we described that process because you and Nymphia clashed. Well, not clashed, but you had differing tucking approaches this season. So you did help him tuck.
I did, but not the way that I demonstrated to Nymphia, because that would have required a lot of touching. And you know, we don't want any like harassment stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I just helped him. I just showed him how to do it, and then he did it. And you know, I did. I saw how he did it, and it was nice. You know, so
great.
I'm just obsessed with him. I'm obsessed with him.
You two are very. It was a good dynamic, I think, between you two.
Yeah. No, it was. He's like the straight man, and I'm here like, you know, this feminine beauty. We were just perfect together.
Yeah. No, it was very nice. And I hope that he continues his drag career after this.
I hope so too.
Yeah, it would be very fierce. So I also want to ask you about something that happened on social a while back. Right after I had the interview with Amanda, in which she came out as trans, because I saw a lot of people online, you know, tagging you and trying to quote unquote force you to come out. And you have been open on the show about being non-binary. So how did you feel about people trying to like force you or pressure you to come out when they have none of those facts for themselves, especially in such a public way, like thinking they were being cute while doing so?
You don't understand. Even before Drag Race, it every time, like every trans, beautiful trans girl would be like, you're so gorgeous. When are you starting Moans? When are you starting this? When are you starting that? And, you know, it would bother me a lot. I feel like now it's more of kind of like a joke in a way, because they just know that I won't, you know, I'm not there yet. You know what I mean? And it's something that, like, I'm not saying I don't want to be trans. I'm not saying I am trans. I'm just saying, like, if I am, I need time for myself to figure that out. You know, mm-hmm. I'm very comfortable with myself now. And I just don't think it's like, you know, cute to like force or like try to like pressure someone into transitioning. I just think that's like a little weird, you know?
Yeah, no, I do too. And I think when I would see it, it would make even me uncomfortable looking at it, because it's like, this is, you know, even though they think they're being cute and they're joking, it's like, this is still something that's very real for somebody who has already been open on this show about being non-binary. So it's like, why try to force that even further?
Oh, no, yeah, it is very like, ooh, but, you know, I'm someone who's very like, I don't I love to joke around and I love to kiki and cackle and like I don't get bothered by a lot of things. So, you know, for me, it's sometimes it's fine. But like, if you're really if like I'm at the club and you're like trying to put implants or inject me with estrogen, I'm gonna run away, girl.
Yeah. So Carrie Colby, stay away.
Yeah. that was to Carrie Colby. That was the Carrie. We were sitting at Heart nightclub and she's like, "All right, Mama, open your let me get your thigh." And I was like, "No," and I ran away.
Carrie's allowed.
I love Carrie, but that's more of like a playful thing. But I'm talking about like other people that are like very like in the comments, always like forcefully trying to like you know say stuff.
Yeah, that's not cool. Because even if it's framed as a joke, this is still something that's very real for the community, and it needs to stop. I think.
I agree.
So the last thing I want to ask you is there was something else that popped up online in recent weeks. There were like some old posts about you having drama with Trixie, but then she has come out as like
I knew
a morphine.
I knew it was going to be you to mention this.
We do our research here and it was, you know, she has come out as a morphine stan on Pit Stop. So like, are you too cool?
So I was planning on never addressing it unless it was going to be something funny, you know, where she and I both address it. Those tweets were, yes, they were from, I think they were from 2020, but they were from the actual thing that happened was 2018. I was really stupid and young, but, you know, it was like one of those things where I didn't know much of Trixie in a way of like how she was in person until literally years later she said that that's how she is. You know, she can come across off as rude, but I thought it was just like rude at the moment, you know, the way that she was like, she like acted, you know what I mean? So I was like so flabbergasted. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so fucking rude. And then my dumbass tweeted it on 2020, which we were all going through it during that year mentally. Yes. So I said, you know what? I have time today. Let me tell my friends and followers and three fans that how I feel about Trixie. So
not three.
I hate that it came up, but I absolutely love Trixie now. I've met her. She's the sweetest person. I think, you know, some people just, you know, are like that. Like she said, she sometimes can come across off as rude, but that's just how she is. And she's not being rude. I know that now, but, you know, those tweets are no longer what I feel ever anymore. And if Trixie, like, I'm so sorry, girl. Let's talk about it. I think it would be so funny if Trixie and I talked about it.
I agree. I mean, hey, you know what? There's a platform on EW if you guys want to come on together.
Did you gag when those tweets came up?
I saw them on, there was like a YouTube show. Yeah, it just like girl, popped up.
They got it so quick too. I was like, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, okay. I was like, because you know, we're not some just gossip site. We're gonna go to the source and we're gonna ask the question. And I am so glad that you cleared it up in such an eloquent way. Like, I mean, it's very you know, that's very mature of you to look back on that and say that's an old, you know, frame of mind when I had misinformation. Now I'm cool with Trixie. Like, let's make it better.
Yeah, so it was completely an old frame of mind. That's such a good way of putting it. And like I said, I'm obsessed with her now. I know she loves me and she's my mother. So I don't think she can unmother me because that's you can't do that. That's illegal.
You can't.
So I'm stuck with her forever.
That's called growth. That is called growth, Morphine.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, Morphine, this has been just, I can't believe that we're already here. I feel like it was just yesterday that I was, you know, doing that first interview with you out in LA. Like, that was so much fun. And now we're here.
Isn't that crazy?
It's wild. My God. It's so wild. But you have just been such a pleasure to watch on TV. And I am so happy for you. And I can't thank you enough for, you know, your time today and for just being so great and all these interviews that we've done. And I wish you the best after the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Honestly, like I love kicking with you. You're always like my favorite. I love seeing your crazy tweets.
Oh, thank you, Morphine. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, your tweets are cuckoo bananas. I live. I think there was a tweet where it was like Maya going under Anitra and Marsha. That was so good.
Yes.
My favorite.
That means a lot to me. Thank you, Morphine. I just, you know. Until we talk again, because I feel like this is not the last time. So until then.
Very soon.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Morphine. Have a good day.
Of course. Bye, you too.
The competition might have poopsied, morphine out, and now Jillian and I are also pooped from this episode. So if you enjoyed us spilling on this podcast, please give us kudos by rating and subscribing to us and giving a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, because it helps us bring you more exclusive chats with drag talent and might help the next drag angel get its BBL.
Tune in next week when we'll have an interview with season 16's next eliminated queen before we head into the final stretch of episodes before the finale later in April. Until then, have a lazy night. Sorry, I fucked up.
Okay, we're using it.
Damn it.
Quick Drag is an Entertainment Weekly podcast hosted and produced by Joey Nolfi and Jillian Cederholm, produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Thanks for listening.
This weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh!